Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Over the last few decades, state and federal courts have repeatedly told North Carolina lawmakers that they must mend their ways and stop drawing gerrymandered electoral maps that disadvantage people of color and rig elections to guarantee victories for members of certain political parties. Unfortunately, the message doesn't seem to have gotten through. Indeed, the latest maps crafted and approved by Republican majorities at the General Assembly are some of the most gerrymandered we've ever seen. Recently, in an effort to get a handle on this situation and how it came to pass, as well as some of the other top policy debates on the front burner in the waning days of the 2021 legislative session, I got a chance to talk with a lawmaker who's been in the middle of these debates, Wake County State Senator Wiley Nickel. Well, Senator Wiley Nickel, welcome back to News and Views. It sure is good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob. It's great to be here with you.
It's a remarkable fact that the North Carolina General Assembly just seems to be now pretty much a full-time legislature. Here we are in approaching the middle of November, and you're still in session. And it used to be that these things kind of ended in the summertime. There was one big development recently, and that's a new set of redistricting maps for Congress and for the State House and the Senate. I know you've been involved in speaking out on it. Talk to us about what the heck happened and what your take on things is.
The legislature just passed maps for Congress and the state legislature on 100% partisan grounds. These are Republican maps drawn by Republicans that take all real choice out of the hands of the voters. You know, I'm on the committee that was part of this all year, and I'm saying since I got to the legislature, we should not be doing this. We should have a nonpartisan independent commission to draw fair maps for North Carolina. The maps we've got are another extreme partisan gerrymander that, you know, rob the voters of any real choice at the ballot box. It's just wrong. You know, the way I talk about it with my 6 and 9 year old is it's just cheating. Yeah. And that's what we got. So I'm not happy about it. Personally, I'm one of the Democrats that sort of benefits from partisan gerrymandering because I'm running for Congress in a seat that's drawn for a Democrat. But overall, you know, really bad maps. We've got to do better.
It is striking. It feels very much as if while they paid lip service to the idea that they had mended their ways, because it's been documented in the courts in years past that there was partisan and racial gerrymandering going on. It seemed that they, again, paid lip service. Oh, we've mended our ways. We're doing this the right way. But when you dug down into it, it was literally the same thing we've seen in the past. There really wasn't any change. Communities were broken up. Strange, crazy districts were drawn to benefit particular individuals. Do you have any hope that the courts will take action on this and order them to try again?
I sure hope so, you know, but the math just doesn't lie. The Republican map makers can say whatever they want, but the math is pretty simple. It's a map that elects 11 Republicans and 3 Democrats, 79% of the seats in Congress in a 50-50 state. But now, you know, it goes to the courts, and I'm very hopeful that the courts will step in to, you know, on state constitutional grounds so we can get fair maps. I'm not as optimistic with Paul Newby as our chief justice. Yeah. You know, from what I understand, he can slow things down. So we may be stuck with these maps, but I will be watching the court battle closely, as I know you will as well.
What's it like being on the floor and being a member of the Senate when this is going on? I mean, you're obviously in close contact with these individuals. Is there ever a wink or a nod or an acknowledgement that, you know, well, maybe we are sort of pushing the envelope here, or is it pretty much just a stone faced, oh, this is great. It's no problem at all. What do you possibly be upset about?
You know, what I do is I look for the folks who've said the quiet part out loud in the past, you know, and yeah. Now convicted felon David Lewis, who took the maps the last go around, you know, he said it publicly, you know, he was drawing maps to elect Republicans.
As many Republicans as possible.
He said, I'd draw an 11-2 map if I could, but I can't. So I'm going to draw a 10-3 map. And then in the last session, Senator Tillman almost gave my Republican colleagues a heart attack when he said, we're drawing Republican maps. What'd you think? We'd do draw Democrat maps? You know, we're in charge. And, you know, he said that in the last session, but the Republican legislators who are doing this are very careful now. The lawyers have explained to them exactly what to say. They have been incredibly careful to try to preserve their extreme partisan gerrymander in the courts. But, you know, again, the math just doesn't lie. And to your point, too, I mean, what they did is they went into the 3 biggest counties in the state and chopped them into thirds. You know, you've got 3 districts in Guilford County, which essentially sends Representative Kathy Manning home. They carved up her district there. G.K. Butterfield's got a 50-50 seat that will be hard to win. And Wake County has three different seats in Congress with the way that they've carved it up. It's just wrong.
Well, speaking of big developments at the General Assembly, another one that I know you've been watching closely for as long as you've been in the Senate is the idea that we might actually get a state budget at some point. It's been a long time. We've been listing along on a very antiquated budget because we can't get one, any kind of a real bona fide negotiation between the Republican majority and the governor. Seems like they're trying. We hear rumblings, rumors. You're probably privy to more of those than a lot of the rest of us. Any indications now that we're several months into the fiscal year that we might actually get a budget bill that we could actually have some sort of bipartisan effort on?
You know, I'm just someone who is eternally optimistic and hope for the best in people. But we may see the worst here. I hope we get a budget that the governor can sign and I can support. You know, but it would take, you know, real investments in public education, and we ought to have Medicaid expansion, especially when the federal government is paying 95% of the tab to get affordable health care for 700,000 North Carolinians. We're not there yet. We have been talking back and forth forever on this. You know, it is November. We were supposed to have done this in June. I guess there's always hope that we're not done yet. You know, it's not dead. But, you know, this is my second term in the legislature, and we haven't passed a budget since I've been here.
It's remarkable, remarkable times. One of the weird or surprising, maybe hopeful signs that came out in recent days was some verbiage from the Senate President Pro Tem, Phil Berger, that he actually now, after years of opposing Medicaid expansion, might be open to it. But then in a sort of flip-flop, the House Speaker, Tim Moore, who apparently wants to run for Congress and may be worried about getting a primary from the far right, in that contest, who previously had indicated an openness to it, is now saying no go on Medicaid expansion. Are they just playing games with us? What's your take on that?
It seems like they're playing games. I've heard the same thing that Tim Moore thinks. It just would be a bad look for him in a Republican primary for Congress. You know, and what do you tell someone who's struggling to make ends meet and needs health care? That, don't worry about it. But Tim Moore, you know, will do better in a Republican primary. So, I mean, we got to get this done. And it makes sense. And, you know, all indications we have is that, you know, is that, you know, my chamber of the Senate would do Medicaid expansion as part of a compromise. That was the first bill that I sponsored in the Senate. And, you know, one of the most important things we can do to help folks, you know, bring down the cost of healthcare in our state.
We've just had action in Congress. One small hopeful sign, I guess, a small little indication that we can get some things done in Congress with the passage of part of the infrastructure package, at least the physical infrastructure package. Do you have any takeaways on what's happened in Washington of late and any hope for the social investments that were also supposed to be a part of the Build Back Better plan?
I'm hopeful that we're going to get some help in North Carolina. We need it. You know, our roads and bridges are crumbling. And that is a transformative investment for our state. We're talking about clean water. We're talking about a lot of good funding for electric vehicles. Right. Those are things that are very exciting to me and that, you know, will really help our state. So that's a big deal. And I think we're going to see, you know, another good package to help with universal pre-K and some other things that will go a long way to helping folks in North Carolina. You know, all I can do is applaud Congressman David Price and Congresswoman Deborah Ross, who represent the Triangle here, who voted for the bill and have been working very hard, you know, on its passage and the passage of this next bill as well.
We're coming to the end of our time with North Carolina State Senator Wiley Nickel. But I do want to ask you as we go forward, you are a candidate for Congress in 2022, and regardless of how the maps end up and what your personal fate is politically, you'll be fighting, obviously, on a lot of fronts. Talk to us about the aftermath of this 2021 election that's taken place recently and what you think Democrats need to say and do in order to hold on to their narrow majorities, maybe even expand them in Washington and fare better in the North Carolina state elections.
I think the voters were very clear in their message. They want to hear what we're for, not what we're against. And we heard a lot of that in Virginia. Donald Trump is not on the ballot. We heard a lot about Donald Trump. They want to know what we're going to do to make their lives better. And for me, the path to doing that is to do big things, to make big structural change in our country. You know, that's universal health care. That's major investments in fighting the climate crisis. You know, these are things that we can do. And if we expand our party, expand our electorate and, you know, have a plan to get, you know, 60% behind us, you know, we can do big things. That's why I'm running for Congress, because I want to do those big things. And I know if we start talking about how we're really going to help people in a specific way, we're going to do a lot better.
State Senator Wiley Nickel of Wake County, thanks so much for being with us. Perhaps we'll be talking to you in the new year. Good luck with all your endeavors.
Thanks so much. It was great to join you.
Coming up next, we'll hear from some federal, state, and local officials about what the new national infrastructure bill will mean for North Carolina. Don't go away.